the United States of America. And God, every plan of the devil to destroy this land, corruption, virus, everything that's been thrown at America in this last year, we just ask that everything be revealed that has been done in secret. Everything that has been done in the dark places, we ask, God, shine your light on these areas of darkness. God, shine your light on America. Shine your light on the church. Shine your light, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for strength and hope returning to the people of God. Strength and hope returning to the land. Strength and hope returning to the U.S. of A., God. Strength, hope, unity in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just intercede over this election right now. We thought it was going to be over last Tuesday, but it's not over. It's still going. But God, we thank you that you have the final word. And we thank you, God, that we can stand upon the word of the prophets. And so even though it looks like all kinds of stuff is coming at us and coming against us and coming against the church, God, we thank you that we have words that we can stand upon. And so we war with those words. And we war with our worship. And Father, we remind you, and we remind the land, we remind the soil, we remind the states of the prophetic word of the Lord. And we say, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just command this dumb virus just to get out of this land in Jesus' name. Everything, all the political stuff that's attached to it as well. God, just get it out of this land. Lord, free up your church again. Free up the states again. God, so we can live. Free up the businesses again. Oh, the bondage and the prison doors that have been placed on businesses. Bust those open in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm excited. I have such an anticipation and excitement for where we are and for where we're going. I just believe in my DNA and in your DNA too. We were made for the battle.
Yes.
I like when it's peaceful and easy and mountaintop, but there's something awesome and powerful about engaging in the battle. And fighting. We are the Joshua and the Caleb generation. And we're going to fight. And we're going to win. Hallelujah. And that goes across the board in all areas. In politically, in emotionally, in your own heart and life. In the church, in your family. There's so much going on so many scales. But you were born for this. You were born for such a time as this. Yes, really quick. Come up.
Joel 3, 9 through 14 out of the New King James Version. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there. O Lord, let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
Yes.
Is that?
That's good work. That's good. That's, come on, it's a war cry. You're like, how do I war? I'm not a warrior. Yes, you are. You get, and just as Lauren was singing, you just get on your knees. And you just pray, and you just worship, and you just cry out to the living God. The battle belongs to the Lord. But there's something that we can do. We can engage in it by praying, and by not allowing offense to come on us, by not allowing bitterness to fill our hearts,
or fear.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yes.
It's great. It's great time. It's a great time to be alive. And God picked us to be alive for such a time as this. So he believes we have what it takes. Amen. Amen. So I'd encourage you, just keep revisiting true and accurate prophetic words. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, and some of it's weird, and some of it's not the Lord, but there are some amazing 100% word of the Lord, and I'd encourage you, reread those. And when you reread them, text them to somebody. Email them to somebody. And it's really sad in this time that we're living in, so much as, you know, videos are getting pulled down, and, you know, censorship, when you say something, if it's the least bit political, they'll censor you. And I encourage you all the more. I'd encourage you all the more. Send that video, text message, send that video, email, because if the government, if Google, if Twitter, if all these things, if they start with that politically, there will come a time where you're just posting a worship video. And it'll say, well, that's inappropriate content. And so we're gonna pull that. And so you gotta begin to spread truth and speak truth in love with a humble spirit, like Janet said. Amen. So I believe you're gonna be so blessed today. Judith has the word of the Lord, and I think it's a word that's gonna settle your heart and spirit in the times and the season that we're living in. But I'm not gonna give a full introduction, Mr. Dennis, her wonderful husband. We love Dennis. He's going to give a proper introduction. But we love this couple, and we love who they are in the Eastern Sierras. And why don't you give a big warm welcome to these guys.
Yay! I don't want to say how many years ago, but I just want to say this about it. I'm the manifestation of her prayer, her obedience, and the deliverance that came to me. Everybody has, I mean, you have little things happen in marriages. Well, ours happened early, and because of her prayer and diligence, I changed. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm happy about that. And just to give you an idea, I met Judith, I was 10, she was 9. And you can take everything else from there. And that is truth. But I do want to say, last week, Jeremiah 29:11, both Pastor Mike and I had this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for a disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Okay? I'm not going to say too much about her message, other than the fact that you got to have your heart right. God's word doesn't change.
That's right.
If you look at the end of the book, we win. Yep. And we win today. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, he always causes us to triumph in every situation. So marriage is just a hint, but life is the whole thing too. And so with that, my wife and I, we've taught together a lot. Pastor Mike texted the other day and said, you got a message in your heart? And I said, are you Judith? And I said, by the time I get home, we'll have it settled. So I was driving back from the church, from the school. And we both were pretty much on the same page. And I thought for sure that she should do it. But it's something that will get your heart right with God. It's something to keep you moving on a day-to-day basis, especially with all of the stuff going on that we have to deal with. So it's been, I don't know how many years she's been teaching, well over 5, probably 40. And so with that, welcome my wife, Judith.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. You wouldn't have noticed that, right? Good morning, family, friends. I'll take his prayer and Pastor Mike's prayer and Dominic's prayer, and because we're all in line. And I'm just going to add to the fact that I received the Holy Spirit. It's going to speak through me to you. I'm the delivery person, but I'm going to plant seeds for harvest in each one of our lives. So, and everything that they have said about the election, that's where I'm at too. And what I want to share really is in the middle ground or in the beginning of temptation, which all of this is that's going on in our country, it's a temptation to us, and either we're going to go under it or over it.
Yes.
And that's up to us. You know, we think all this stuff of God just drops out of the sky. It doesn't. It takes hard work. And diligence. It really takes diligence. And you have to want it. And Dennis and I were desperate. And that helped us a lot. To be desperate, it also helped us a lot that we didn't have any religiosity in us. We didn't have anything except that we knew the Bible. We had a God consciousness, which I think is tremendous because there are people today that don't have it at all. And so we did have a God consciousness, but we did not have the Word of God. So at 30, I'm scrambling and was presented the Word in a paraphrased position with Al-Anon because Dennis was a full-blown alcoholic. So he tested out the end stages of alcoholism. And we didn't even know that. You know, because in those days, way back when, alcoholism was just part of the culture. It was, you know, social drinking or however much you drank, but you drank. Okay, so we didn't understand until, and I didn't really understand until going to Al-Anon that I was living an alcoholic marriage. And I was living with a Jekyll and Hyde. And so I actually mentally and emotionally became more sick than him. And so, and for the people in Al-Anon, there was an alcoholic psychologist that we could tap into. And since Dennis was giving me money, we were separated, and he was giving me money. It cost me $2 at the mental health place where he was. Because that's about, well, that was like 10% or 1% of whatever I was getting. So anyway, it worked out. And so that's where Dennis tested out. For whatever reason, he would come on Fridays. And that's how we found out where he was in that part of it. But this alcoholic psychologist, because I was so far in depression because of in life, what I thought was truth became false. And because I had looked to him as my God, then all of my expectations for acceptance and approval were never filled, and so part of me was gone, taken in that. So as a result, when I found out that life was not true, what I thought was true was not, I ended up in a position of no ability to make have an opinion or a decision. I was just empty with 4 children at home and 2 visiting on weekends. So, thank God, they kept me alive. So, but this counselor said to me, because he wanted me to get out of depression, if I didn't shape up, he was going to put me in the mental health. And so that kind of tells you where I was. My position, I didn't even have, the depression was so deep, I didn't have the wherewithal hardly to live life except for my children. I could make a meal, and I had an alcoholic counselor assigned to me. So she helped me stay alive. So in the process of that, I'm having spiritual decisions that I'm making according to Al-Anon. And God is meeting me according to Al-Anon. But, and I know I'm having something happen to me, and my thinking is starting to change. But I still got to the point of where I'm no good to anything, even to myself, to my kids, to nothing. And so what did he do? He filled me with the Spirit. Did I know that? No, I did not. But it caused me to grab books and to grab a Bible because I couldn't get this out of my head. Find out about Jesus. Find out about Jesus over and over again. And the other thing was stop the divorce. And so I said to him one day, I think I'm dealing with God. And so I'm stopping the divorce, which made everything actually land on him instead of making it an easy route for him to do whatever he was doing. So in the process of all of this stuff that we had to live, and if you think that when we came back together again and picked up out of Illinois and moved to California that it was easy, it was not. It was hard. It was hell on earth, and all I could do was hold on to God. But in the process of the Word of God and being sent to a minister, we made the decision to agree on the Word of God. So he started us there with no Bible knowledge, but he started us. And in Illinois, before we were picked up, like I said, he filled me with the Spirit. Well, I had this voice inside immediately. And I had him 24/7 by myself because we were separated. So it was a wonderful time. I didn't get the Word of God until January when he filled me with the Spirit. But from January to April to where we moved to California, I had this voice. And I had started to pick up Scripture. So in that, I was able to move to California with two scriptures. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, and ask and seek for his wisdom. Seek and find, knock and a door will be open to you. Two scriptures, that's all I knew. So we get to California, we're sent to a pastor. He's just a little bit ahead of us in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He was kicked out of the Church of Christ. Because he got his prayer language. And so here we were. But like I said, we made a decision on the Word of God. We both knew what our past was. And so we're going to try to stay together and keep this marriage. And if you think that marriage, now Dennis and I are 51 years this month. This is a miracle. It is a miracle for us individually. It is a miracle because he called the marriage as well. But it has been a journey, and it has had its up and downs for sure. But in order to stay in line with God, I had to stay married. And so did he, because there were times we did not. Oh, I wanted him to go to the curb and me to take off. And he can say the same thing. Okay, so talking about an established heart is the subject matter. And I want to share, why do we want to even have an established heart? Why does God want us to be in this place? And how do you do it? And how do you live it? And the fact that there is an established heart that we can have and we can walk in. It's a place. It's a mindset. It means to be stable and firm in your life. And all the ups and downs and whatevers and BC days, I can go there any day I want. Any of us can. But I choose not to because I know what it feels like inside of me. I know what it feels like. I choose not to. So I would rather be stable and firm. And I agree with what Pastor Mike says. We're here for such a time as this.
Yes.
God knew what he put in us when he formed us in the womb, that we would have the wherewithal to accomplish what he sent us to do. Because you know you are a citizen from heaven. Yeah. You're here, but what are we supposed to do? Occupy.
Until he comes.
He's looking to us to do that. We
yes.
occupy.
Yes.
So one of the scriptures that really helped me early on was Proverbs 3:5-6. And we know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all his ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Well, I knew I couldn't lean on my own understanding. I made that became really clear to me that there is no way that you can trust what you are seeing and hearing. And if I would have listened to Dennis anywhere along the line for probably the first 10 years about me and things in our marriage and different things like that, I wouldn't be married today. So, and like you said, all majority of our terribleness was at 7, 8 years. Then we had other things at 15 years, 20 years. Other things creeped in. But to the most part, we live a very blessed life. And we do have a good marriage. In fact, our kids thought we never fought. Yeah. Our youngest two, which are in their 40s now, they don't ever remember us fighting. That was because we did after they went to bed. So we did, but we do our best not to go there. He may say something or I may say something, and and the other one comes back, and then it stops. And because why? We don't go horizontally. We go vertically first. What does God have to say about whatever the situation is? Whatever it is, we go to God. Okay, so here I am in that Proverbs, and that was a song at the time. And I knew I couldn't trust my own understanding. The other one that I coupled with that is Jonah 2:8, which says, if I observe lying vanities, I forsake my own mercy. So this is a scripture for today, too, with everything that's going on in our country. King James says, if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. I think the New King James says, if you regard worthless idols, you forsake your own mercy. So somebody else is talking into your life. If it doesn't line up with what God has to say about you, it can be a lying vanity. So that's why I couldn't. If I took anything that Dennis had to say or I had to say about myself for a long, long time, I would forsake my own mercy. So I had to really learn, you know, what you're doing, which I'll get to, but as far as renewing the mind, you're really learning how to control your thought life. When I started this, I did not hear all the noise that I made and all the self-talk that was destructive. So I never even heard it. So that was my first step, is even just hearing all this talk. And what was I saying to myself? So we have the example in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant in 2 Kings 4:8 through 37 on the Shunammite woman. Most of you know about her. And so she had a relationship with Elijah and wanted to make a chamber for him. So they must have had a long relationship, because over years he had prophesied to her that she would have a child, and then she had a child, and child was out with the father and servants, and apparently had what sounds like a heat stroke or something. And so they took him back to her, and he died with his head in her lap. So in the process of that, she picked him up and put him in the chamber on the prophet's bed and went to her husband in the field and said, let me go to the prophet. And so and all she said to him, it will all be well. Amen. So in this story, you never hear a panic phrase or, my God, I got to do something. I've got to find it. Nothing was ever said in the course that we're talking about. So here she is saying all will be well. Then she gets, and her caravan is going, and she's getting to Elijah and Gehazi, his servant, he sends. And so he asks her, well, you know, how's your husband? How are you? And all she said is, all is well. So it's a really wonderful example, because then the prophet did come and the child was raised from the dead. And so I've used it many times. When all around me did not look well at all, I would say, all is well here in the name of Jesus, because that's where my authority is, in the name of Jesus. So, and then Paul, we have examples with him, and one especially in Philippians, where it says whatever state he was in. He's talking to the Philippians because they sent money to him. But he is saying, you know, if I have a little or I have a lot, I know how to be content. And then he goes on and he says, verse 4:13, you know, and because of that, because of this contentment, because I know where I am, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So we can take that scripture and believe that scripture, receive that. And then it goes on and says in 19 that he knows that my God shall meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or all of your needs. All right, so I call those blanket scriptures, because they will cover any situation. If you only know those two, you can get pretty far in God. Okay. So, but somewhere in our walk, it's good to recognize where we've come from. Just to stop, you know, sometimes and say, all right, what was my thinking like? Where was I? And in Ephesians 2, it talks about that he made alive. He made us alive. Because we were dead in trespasses and sins, in which we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who works now in the children of disobedience. Okay, so there was a course set in our life that the devil instrumented for us to be. He put that forth. Because when we came in a neutral place, you know. And so here we are with a system of thinking that is, according to James, inspired by the enemy. And it's earthly, it's of this earth system of thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a system of thinking out here. You're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah.
On what, you know, they would like the United States to be. So here we are, and we all have to recognize, okay, I was on a course. The enemy did have a course for me. And so, and it's earthly, it's of the senses, and it's devilish or demonic in origin. So yet we have to know that. And then God, he also has a course for us. And it is to renew our minds, because our spirits already have him. When we accept him, Jesus, as Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So, absolutely. And the Father. And so, when you know that renewing the mind means that there is this system and we're not to be conformed to it, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is where the work takes in. I mean, God is asking us, really, to brainwash yourself.
Yes.
I mean, really, just take it for where it's at. It's a brainwashing system that he has by his words.
Yes.
And that you go beyond you. This is what is so important for the generation coming up.
Yes.
To give them the opportunity to change the course they're on.
Yes.
And to do it early. All right, so we can understand that there's that system, but we don't have to be a part of it.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it talks about that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Important thought. And you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You notice he didn't talk about the soul. the intellect, the will, the emotions. He didn't talk about that. That's where the renewing of the mind is. That's up to you. But he did talk about your body, that it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and your spirit. They belong to God. They do not belong to you if you have him as Lord. So you're in this life, you've got a course, you've got a purpose, and you need to walk in God. So in the Bible, Jesus was tested with a coin. He said to them, so whose image is on this coin? And they said, well, Caesar. Well, then he said back to them, well, then that belongs to Caesar. And give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Now in Genesis 1:27, what image are we made in?
Yes.
In God's. Okay, so again, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And we have to give our bodies over as a living sacrifice. Say, okay, God, I'm yours. I'm your hands. I'm your feet. And I have to get this thinking in line with you so that you work through me. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7, it talks about that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. From the foundations of the world, he saw and set up those blessings for us to be mindful of them. And in these heavenly places, you're in Christ. This is another place that we have to have in our thinking. To know that there's a course, the enemy had a course, God has a course. That we are to recognize that we're not our own, we're bought with a heavy price. It was a heavy price, but he bought us. So we're not our own, and now there's all these spiritual blessings. How do I get to them? Well, you get to them because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I have to find out about Jesus, which means the Gospels. Then I'm going to have to get into Acts, because Acts is going to show me not only what is in each person in Jesus and how that flows out, but then I'm going to have to get over into Paul and find out how Paul lived to be content. We never see him panic either. We never saw Jesus panic. We never saw them go under anything. And yet they had all the stuff that comes at us. All right, so we have these spiritual blessings that are tapped into, and there's a place called in Christ or in Jesus. It's a place seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. We have to have a mindset that that's where our position of dominance and authority is.
So good.
You have to know that. You have to walk around in that mindset. So this established heart that I'm talking about is there. And in Colossians it talks about, then if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth. So, and in 2 Corinthians 4:18, one of my favorites, it talks about, for we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen, they're temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You know, we're dealing with a spirit being, and we're spirit beings. Just because we're clothed in an earth suit does not mean that that's us. Our bodies, yes, do reflect what our spirit looks like, but we are a spirit being first. And we are made by the Spirit, our Father, the Father of spirits. He has made us. He's put us into this earth suit. He's put us on a course. Okay, so we have these things that happen in life that come at us, and we do, but we can't focus on them. We have to recognize them. We have to say these things. We look not at these things which are seen. but at the things which are not seen. Faith, can you see faith? It is unseen. It does not work because you see it. It works in the unseen realm, and the unseen realm has to be more real than this one is.
Amen.
We have to know what's going on, but we have to be able to say, wait a minute, I recognize this. This does not line up on the course that God has for me, so I have to do something with it. And in a split second, I'm going to go under it or I'm going to go over it. It's very, very fast. Your reaction has to be, or you keep your mouth shut and start saying the name of Jesus. And you just do nothing for a sec. Because, I mean, I've seen things that were just absolutely was going to knock me over. And I just started, I looked at things and I just said, Father, what are we going to do about this? In the name of Jesus. And then I got quiet. Until I knew what to do or what to say or, you know, and again, go right to in Christ, in the place in Christ.
Amen.
Go right there in your thinking. Allow your spirit to rise up. So we become established in any truth because we covenant with the Holy Spirit. We don't do this by ourselves. This is spiritual stuff that's unseen. So if we don't have someone on our side, that's why God didn't leave us without comfort.
Yes, amen.
He gave us the Holy Spirit. And I rely every moment of every day on the Holy Spirit. And stay in Christ. So he is the teacher. He's the guide into truth. And we can't even make the scriptures come alive. I have the phrase, I am to be an audience to God, all the time. And when I read the word, I'm in an audience position, reading and giving it place, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring it off the page.
Yes.
So I have to rely on him. I can't do this myself. I am not to have even me on my shoulders. I live this life with nothing on me at all. I refuse to take anything. This situation in the world today, if we try to take up part of that, it's going to be false burden and false responsibility. If I take something that's going on with my kids, I'm in false burden, false responsibility. Yep. If I take something on me that says, okay, if I do this like so-and-so does this, then I'm going to grow up and I'm going to figure out something. Doesn't work. It's got to be infused by the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, all the things that I said to you. So, we can never lose sight of the Holy Spirit. We can never take on ourselves something that's not ours. You know, I'm a teacher in the body of Christ, and I stay right in that position. I don't go into other parts unless God directs me, but I stay right there. And I'm not going to take on anything else or anybody else because I don't have the anointing for it. And I prefer to speak where it goes into somebody's heart and creates life and doesn't drop to the floor. So if the Holy Spirit doesn't give it to me to say, I'm a really quiet person. I don't have a whole lot to say. Get me on the phone and hit a certain thing and I'm like a dump truck. I had to get off the phone the other day. I was talking to my granddaughter, and she just is so good. She says, oh, Grandma, I'm sounding like you. I say the name of Jesus all the time. And then she's got her siblings doing that too. So two more grandchildren are saying the name of Jesus all the time. So this is very good. But I said, oh, I've got to get off the phone. I can't stand myself here. So, anyway, but she just loves it, and it's wonderful. So the works are not because we believe them and we receive them. And it's not because of performance. And it's not because of a religion we're in. It's because we rely on Jesus and his finished work. That is the other place that we have to have within us. Very solidly, it has to be all on him, not on us. And yet we have to believe it and believe in him and let him take the place. So like I said in Colossians, we have to look at these things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand, because we ourselves are dead and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. Your life is hidden. You need to be always behind Jesus. Let him go in front of you with the Holy Spirit's instructions, because like he says in John 16:13-15, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he takes of what is mine and declares it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I sat on this scripture for weeks on end, because we can get the revelation knowledge of a scripture, but until you meditate on it and roll it over and speak back to the Holy Spirit, it's still not in a real reality. It becomes a real reality when you meditate on it. In the physiology of your body, it actually becomes your DNA. Because of how we're made. Okay, so Holy Spirit, big, big, big. You've got to have a relationship with him. So God does not want our hearts full of worries and fears tossed and turned by every challenge that comes our way. He wants our hearts at rest and established by his grace towards us. Hebrews 13:9 says, it is good that a heart be established by grace. There, a number of years, I think mainly because I was teaching, what a blessing to be a teacher, because it forced me to always be in the Word. It forced me to be taught first. And then a group of women, you know how women are, talk. They can talk. But you know what? I've learned from them, because I have ran the Bible study as a discussion and as a prayer place as well. But totally blessed. But every year I would have a scripture that would speak to me and come off the page, and there would be one word in that scripture. And one of them was established. So I have looked at every word established is in the Bible, every place it is. And, you know, so that didn't hurt me. It helps me a lot, because I found out that, just like this scripture, I'm established by grace. Grace. Unmerited favor. So renewing our mind, what we think and what we want to focus on is what's already done. Never what do I have to do to get God to favor me, to get God to see what's going on. Everything's already done, already covered. So when we think that the breakthroughs and the challenges depends on our ability to obey God, then our hearts will not be at rest. We'll be in works again. See, it's a real fine line between what you're doing and, oh, okay, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be believing. I'm going to really be working on this believing instead of receiving it already done. Okay, see, it's a real fine line here. It is. But again, is it on me or is it on God? You want it on God. You do not want it on you. That's why, and it's, I think for men this is harder, because, and I think in our whole society, because it's all based on performance. And we can really easily get into self-performance. So, it's always based on what Jesus has accomplished. So, our speaking and out the facts of our redemption, in order to enforce, this is our position, we enforce what already has been accomplished. This is why we have to know God. We have to know His character. We have to know what He says. And how do you know me? You know me by my words. So how do you know God? By His words. How's this universe run? By words. Okay, so when we depend on God's grace, that is His undeserved, unmerited favor, the opposite happens. Our hearts become established. When we know that the only thing that qualifies us to receive God's blessings is faith in the finished work of Christ, our hearts become established. Unseen stuff, but already done. Two other scriptures, and I can remember this. I know the chair I was sitting in when this one came. And it's in Proverbs 16:3. In the King James, it just says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. What? They'll be found to be firm in the mind. They'll be firm, established in you. The Amplified, I really like. It says, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to be agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. That scripture takes it all off of you. Because He will even cause your thoughts to be agreeable to His will. Now, yes, you trust first. You do trust. You do roll it over. You do commit it. Yes. Again, but why? Get it off of you. You don't have the wherewithal to carry it anyway. I mean, what a waste of time. Okay. And the other one is Psalms 112. This Psalms, I like all of it. Every bit of it. It says, blessed is the man that reverences the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. I take that for my kids. Mighty on the earth they are. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. And then it says down below that, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, fixed. Here's your established again. Trusting in the Lord, what does that mean? To be firm. Used of the mind, his heart is established. It's propped up, it's upheld, it's unmoved. This heart this person has, he will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. So, you got to take that. You have to receive that. I want that. Holy Spirit, show me how to do this. I yield to you to train me up in it. So when the circumstance comes, my reaction is not going to be moved. I'm not going to go anywhere until it's going to be above it. And I'm going to just say the name of Jesus and wait until I hear the Holy Spirit give the instruction on what to say. God wants our hearts established, knowing that His righteousness, healing, protection, prosperity are ours, all paid for by Jesus' finished work. It's got to always be finished, all done. God's blessings are sure in our lives because they are not dependent on our ability to keep His laws, but Jesus' perfect obedience. See, it's not my obedience. I can remember sitting in the front of the house in a car, and I was deciding about healing for something or whatever. And was I righteous or not righteous? And I finally said, oh, I'm already healed. I'm already righteous. Got out of the car, walked in the house. And so, you know, but see, it's this little stuff that creeps in. Yeah, you've got to watch them all. You got to watch all the little foxes. Yes, they are. They do spoil the vine. Yeah. So we let our hearts be established by God's grace. It's always sufficient. It's always there for the taking. We have full access to these blessings that are already established for us. So they're firm. They're fixed. So we don't need to worry about anything. We're to stand firm on the promises. Okay, Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he had obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which is established. This word established means to be sanctioned. So, which are sanctioned on better promises. So, Jesus is the mediator, which also can be the one who guarantees. He guarantees the new covenant. See, the new covenant was not entered in by us and God. God knows man. That did not work under the old covenant. So he said, forget that. You know, forget it. So we're going to make a better covenant, and it's going to be between Jesus and the Father. And we slip in because we're in Christ. Slip in and grab the benefits because you're in Christ. This place that we have because of him. All right, so, and the word sanction means the act of a recognized authority confirming or ratifying an action. Okay, so the Father said Jesus' sacrifice was good enough. He said it. The courts of heaven said Jesus' sacrifice was good enough. It covers everything we would ever face in this life. And so because of that, what happens to us? We can enter a rest in our soul. The rest has already been left here. It's for our taking. It's in Hebrews 4. They couldn't enter into it because of disobedience. Really, the disobedience like Dominic was talking about was because of unbelief. So they didn't enter into the promised land. We have it waiting for us. It's established. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have to settle these things. We have to make decisions on these things. We have to say, I want to walk in this. And so, you know, the devil's a defeated foe, but he operates and has abilities and uses our authority against us if we allow him with a thought. It starts with a thought and goes to the second thought and the fifth thought and the 15th thought within seconds. You can go down the tubes. But they're all round trips, I'll have you know. I've said that before. Every one of them is a round trip. So how long are you going to be out there? They're going to come back to where you went off the Word of God. So the devil comes by deception to bring our thinking under his control. And this is how he takes authority and uses it against us. So whose voice are we listening to? Are we self-conscious, self-absorbed, self-centered, self-righteous, self-pity in our thinking? Self may be on the throne, but whom are we really serving? There's two kingdoms with a bunch of words and a bunch of images on the words. And we have never had an original thought. Those thoughts all day long are coming from one kingdom or the other. The one brings us into bondage, takes, always takes. Even though it's all you think is self, it's not. You're serving one kingdom or the other. So which one are you going to further? Who are you going to serve? Which way are you going, under or over? Under, under is where the devil is. Over is where God is. Because God is a possibility person. Spirit being. Possibilities, always possibilities, always promises. You have this choice, you can take it or not. So he says to us, conform your will. This would be very good for you. Why don't you conform your will to it? The devil does takes your will by deception. And a lot of us don't even know it for quite a while until you end up in bondage. But all of it's been defeated. He has really no hold on you or on your thinking. Sometimes there's a cost in serving him. Always a cost, really. Yeah, there's always a cost in serving him. That's the truth. It is. However, God multiplies back. And nothing has to take as long as what it was going in. Coming out can be real fast. So because it's God in you who wills and does of his good pleasure, and it's Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Our choice again. It's always our choice. But I like the fact of Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. So we're going to be working at this. We're going to be changing. We're going to be seeing things within ourselves that are working against us till the day of Christ Jesus. So again, don't get all worked up over the things that you see in yourself, because God's bigger than it, and he's on the throne. So, and we're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out, and we are to be established and have the power to be a witness in our lands of God, for God. Be established here. Keep your authority here. Use the dominance over the enemy. We must know within ourselves and be recognized that God is with us by our attitudes and our words. All our plans will be established and succeed because we seek after God in his presence, and he increases in us daily. Our choice. So to sum this up, I would like to say there's a place in God at the right hand of the throne where we have our dominion and our authority. We have to have that mindset that we're always there, always in this place. Because we have that mindset, we can have an established heart. That means in our spirit and our soul, established, firm. You know, that doesn't mean that for a time things aren't going to, you know, come and you're going to, okay. But you don't react. So you always have to watch your first response to it. Because that's going to set you on a course of going under or over. First reaction. Is your reaction always anger? Is your reaction always, oh, why did this happen to me? Is it this whole thing is unfair, unjust? Whatever it is, that first reaction needs to be in such a place that you don't react. You respond, but you don't respond until you have something godly to think and say. And so it may be that you say the name of Jesus 10 times and then see, is this what I'm going to say going to be God? Not say it again. And just keep your mouth shut, because as soon as you open your mouth, you license the devil. So it's not only the thinking, but now you licensed him and gave him place. God says, neither give place to the devil. That's Ephesians 4:27. That means that you have the ability not to. or God would be unjust. So, place in God, in Christ seated. What's your first reaction? I brought a few of my books because I wrote on mind traps. And these 14 mind traps that the Lord gave me actually are the ways that the devil deceives to get that reaction to be wrong. And so in between the circumstance and the reaction is where this book applies. So I do have them for $10, which is pretty much my cost, but I will offer them. So I receive, in the name of Jesus for all of you, that the Holy Spirit live big, really, really big, and show you in your thinking and in your understanding the established heart that he wants you to walk in. And that all that's been said here, Father, that you will bring to their remembrance. And that Jesus will be on the throne in their hearts and minds and not themselves. So they are not serving the wrong kingdom, but they are always serving the right and always above in all that they do and all they touch their hand to, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, praise you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, real good. See what I have to deal with. Mercy. I need mercy. I got two things. One of the things that caused problems in our marriage was I had the ability to drink maybe a fifth to a quart of gin a day. You know, exaggeration is a sin, so that's not an exaggeration. When I smoked 3 to 4 packs. Remember the big Winston packs? Well, I'd have 3 Winston and 1 Salem to kill the taste of the Winston. You know, so I was just, hey, listen, you try to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. You try to figure out when do you start and when do you finish? You got to keep moving. it's a long day. The reason why I bring this up is I want to establish some hope in your life today. If I can be delivered of that, and I was, no, Al-Anon, I was delivered by the Word of God. She said, AA, 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Real quick story, on a Sunday we were all sitting around, about four or five couples, maybe 3 or 4, I don't know. Anyway, somebody said, I got a word for you. And I said, I know, to the group. I said, that word's for me. I don't know what it is, but I know what it's for. And she said, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. With that, I was delivered of tobacco. Amen. Right then and there. The carton I had just bought, did I give it away? Oh, yeah, right to the garbage. Didn't give it to anybody. So if you have something, now here I'm putting those two things together for the third thing. Last Sunday, I spoke a couple things about the election. But I started dealing with the election on Passover. Okay? And I've received more revelation on apostles and prophets in the last 6 or 7 months, and I've learned to trust them. Because they're messengers of God, and God does not lie.
They're consistent.
And they're consistent. That's right. And so our position is, to have an established heart with what's going on in this world, you got to have a scripture that you believe more than what is being seen out there. Secondly, don't look at what's being said out there. Don't even look at it. Whenever I have any type of thought, I go right to what the Word of God says, we win. Right? He's established with his word. It's established in our hearts. And so, and that's the way I deal with everything in life. I'm going to have something, that's what she's talking about this morning. So there's going to be a word that's going to be more real than the situation about us. Okay? So if it's alcohol, if it's tobacco, if it's worry or care, I want you to put it right here. Put your hand out holding it. Okay? And I want you to take it with your right hand, and I don't want you to throw it to me because I don't need it. Okay? I want you to throw it outside in the name of Jesus. Okay?
It's gone.
It's gone, right. It's gone. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondage. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is more real in any situation that we have in front of us. And he always causes us to triumph in that situation. And we just praise you and we thank you. If you look back at the service, where the praise and worship came, where Mike came up and exhorted us, and for where Judith came and spoke to us, it was all set up. It was all in rhyme by the Spirit to build more strategy and more strength in our hearts. And so, Father, we receive that. And your word says we have supernatural recall and supernatural understanding of that word that has gone forth this whole service. So, Father, we just declare victory for ourselves today and for this future. And we just praise you and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If anybody has a need for prayer or anything, please come up. And have a blessed, victorious day. Okay?